It's showtime. Is old Kenny here with you for a brand new episode of the Kenny Ho Show. How are you? I hope all is well. Now, have you ever heard of an earworm where somebody like sings like a verse of a song and then you're screwed because that verse and perhaps the next few verses, it's usually not the entire song, but like the catchy, I suppose catchy, like an STD type of catchy, because it haunts you for the rest of your day. For example, like, there goes John Jingleheimer Hammerschmidt, ma 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 ma, John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt, his name is my name too. Whenever we go out, the people always shout, there goes John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt, ma 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 ma. You're welcome. If this is gonna haunt me like some sort of hoodoo, you too will feel my woe. Why? Because you didn't like my podcast on Apple Music. Or, I don't think I'm on Apple Music. I think I'm on Apple iTunes, which is like obsolete at this point. But you know what I mean. That's payback, you son of a bitch. But I actually wasn't intending on cursing your day, actually. But I was gonna say I earwormed myself. Now, I definitely earwormed myself. Like, John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt is playing over and over in my head. And I actually looked it up the other day. I'm like, where did I hear this song from? So I looked up John Jacob Jingle, whatever his name is. And it's a catchy destroy my day type of song, but also annoying as hell with that name, right? It makes me seem like I have zero grasp of the Queen's English, you know? But I looked it up. I'm like, well, I know I learned it as a child, but what show was it? I watched a lot of cool shows back then that sang a lot of songs. I was thinking it was Kid Songs, which is, you know, it's probably like cheesy and shit now, but for a six-year-old young Kenny, that show was the shit. And so I was hoping to find clips of that, but I don't know, I guess it was only cool to me because there's no clips of it online whatsoever. And I don't want to type kids anything on online there, just in case they're like, listen, we got you, wacko number two. Eh? We know your infatuation with Michael Jackson music. I'm like, you know what? I'm kind of a fan, but, you know, I certainly wouldn't say I'm infatuated. You know, I wouldn't even say I'm that big a fan of any one particular song. You know, if something comes on, I wanted to say if something comes on at the club, but I'm like, what club? I'm not even at, like, they call, like, gyms, like, fitness clubs. I'm not even at one of those. I don't even know what a club sandwich is. I was going to make a Subway joke, but I'm like, what the hell's a club sandwich? I want to be authentic. I want to say things that I actually know and maybe kind of believe in. What the hell's a club sandwich? Now, if the punchline was meatball sub, you bet your ass I'm there at the Subway eating a meatball sub. Maybe not now. At this point, I'm a shut-in hermit type, so I don't really care for a sandwich that badly to leave my home anymore is what I'm trying to get at. But the point is, I looked this song up, John Jacob, and it turns out, I don't know if I learned it from this show, but it at least was a Super Smash hit on that show. And that show is, of course, the legendary, the iconic, the prehistoric, Jurassic-loving, purple dinosaur himself, Barney and Friends. And honestly, it's worth a watch. even if you weren't a fan back in the day, even if you were one of the cool kids who, you know, said Barney's gay or whatever, even though he's not, he's a friendly dinosaur who doesn't seem to have any sexual preference whatsoever. He seems to, at best, be an asexual dinosaur, but I feel like he's replaced his, carnal desires with magical rainbows and such. So, Barney's not gay. Barney's cool and talented. Because during this video, at one point, this guy just... You know how, like, on a guitar, you can, like, make your guitar cry or whatever? Like, really, what is it called? Shred your guitar? Well, this dude was making a piano cry. This guy was shredding the piano. It's like, and there goes John Jacob Hammer, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, bam, 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 on the piano like a champion. Like, he made Vanessa Carlton look like a layman, you know? It's like if Vanessa Carlton were playing 1,000 miles, cause you know I'd walk 1,000 miles if I could just see you. Natalie Portman tonight. And then like they're like, now repeat that, old Kenny. I'd be like, if I could just see Natalie Portman tonight. Dong dong. That's how much of a badass Barney is on his piano and in general. So take that, you Barney haters, you son of a bitch. Barney 316, baby. I still haven't gotten to the point I was trying to make, have I? I earwormed myself. 316, I told you it would be a big episode, right? Because on 316, I see, I'm still saying Padme 316, Barney 316. And at the beginning of that episode, I used the Hillary Duff Super Smash hit and turned it into 316. So every episode since, I just wanted to start the episode with 317, 318. You almost got the 319 treatment this morning. But I'm like, you know what? I don't want to be a one-trick pony. I want to be a talented person, you know? I don't want to be like the male Awkwafina. Or worse, the male Amy Schumer. Who, by the way, oh my goodness, she does steal jokes. Like, I've never had that much of an interest in her. Well, anything, but her career, for one. I've seen some of her stuff. You know what? I like the movie Trainwreck, but I like the movie despite her being in it, is what I'm getting at. Like, John Cena stole the show. LeBron James was very good. And is his name Bill Hader, the male lead? Like, that guy was an all-star. Amy Schumer was there doing her Amy Schumer shtick. And I didn't hate her in the movie. But I kind of hate her and everything else now, because there's, and you can find this on YouTube, a bunch of compilation videos that show where the joke came from, and then her doing the joke, and it's so obvious. I'm like, you stole that bit. You kind of changed it a little bit, and don't get me wrong, everybody does it. I've definitely stolen a joke or two in my day, but I like to think for the most part, because especially in this format now where nothing is scripted, I don't have time to steal jokes. I'm here on the edge of my seat being like, oh my goodness, what the hell am I going to say next? It's usually something racist, derogatory, or sexist, but usually it's at least original, all right? But I can live with someone stealing a joke if they can make the joke better. Because there's lots of good ideas out there, but the execution is not always good. In fact, I've seen my fair share of, good idea, really poor execution. Like the other day, she'd sent me some video. It was like an Asian dude doing a skit. So I guess this guy's an Asian actor or Asian comedian. He's a disgrace to my people. Not just Asian people, but Asian actors and comedians, all right? This guy had a pretty good idea, but his execution and the script he came up with was so poor, it elicited zero laughs from me. I don't even remember what the hell it was. That's how forgettable it was, I suppose. But I just remember typing my buddy Sheed back up and being like, so good idea, but horrible execution. Please don't send me shit videos like this ever again. But yeah, Amy Schumer's just bad. She falls into this category of, I'm going to steal a joke, but I'm not going to make it any better. Because, like, to the T, every single, during the compilation, the first video, the, like, original source of the joke, it's always better. And with the Amy Schumer stuff, it's not funny. Like, I sat there, you know, the exhibit A, I laughed. Not every time, not all of it was great, but for the most part, I laughed. And then they would show Amy Schumer, and I just sat there. And it, a couple of times, I'm like, it's almost there, Amy. If you weren't so repulsive and had any talent at all, I would laugh. But the hell with her. And the hell with Awkwafina for now. I'm sure I'll talk about them again. Hey, it's not lost on me where I'm like, I'm original, huh? I come up with original things, huh? And, you know, elicit a couple laughs here and there, unlike Fatty Fatty Fat Fat on screen there. It's not lost on me that I talk about and I talk like that, and I've brought those two people up, I think, two episodes in a row now. It's not lost on me. But I also believe in, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Hey, listen, that fat cow is a cash cow to somebody, and she may as well be a cash cow to me. Cash being used very, very, very loosely in this term. And that brings me perfectly segue into the next topic. The real reason why I came on here. To talk about selling out. That's right. I tried to make it seem like I had an ad, like, or a bunch of ads, I suppose. That's a pipe dream at this point. The Kenny Ho Show will always be a money-losing operation for me. Why I keep doing it, I don't know. Maybe I like looking at the numbers each week and being like, well, I'm glad some people listened. But not nearly enough. I stole that bit from Eeyore. But I made it modern, so I'm good with that. But no, what I wanted to talk about as far as selling out is concerned, is yes, I will never be able to sell out because I was reading last night on Reddit, and it is a toxic, toxic thing to go through. But I was on Tell 'em Steve Dave's Reddit, because these guys have been doing one episode every 2 weeks or so. I'm like, hey guys, what do you think this is? The first season of the Kenny Ho Show where I just did episodes like willy-nilly, like, oh yeah, I guess I'll do an episode here. Yeah, I guess I'll do an episode now. It's been a month and a half. I feel like I should probably do an episode. I did sound rather suicidal the last time I did an episode. Actually, back then, I probably didn't. Like, back then, I had, like, irons on fires or in fires, however you say that term. I was expected to be a big deal, but you could say that about me for most of my life. You know, not anytime recently, but when I was younger. And certainly back then, I somehow even had prospects at hot chicks. And they were all 19, baby. The perfect number. That's a sweet spot right there. Not too young. And if they're white, which they all were, they certainly got a couple years before they start looking 34, you know? But I digress. These guys have been playing in like year one of old Kenny's unbeloved show. I'm like, guys, unlike me, you got shit to lose. I didn't think about it right in that moment. I was thinking more like, you know, you lose people's attention. There's so much shit you can be doing in this world as far as entertainment is concerned. Like, just go on Disney Plus. or Netflix or whatever, there's always brand new series that could easily fill the void as far as free time is concerned. And okay, during this pandemic, lots of people have lots of free time, but as things ramp back up and we hopefully all become zombies in the not too distant future, and everybody goes back to work full time and such, there's not a lot of free time, so you do want to stay relevant and just do a weekly show. I mean, it's a job, but like B, the best job you can possibly imagine. And I know I've been doing a lot of job hunting lately, and there is definitely no job out there that is a beloved podcaster, you know. Surprisingly, there's some stuff like they're looking for like YouTube content creators and like TikTok content creators. I didn't even bother applying because they're not looking for a guy like me, all right? They're not looking for a homely 30-year-old. They're definitely looking for some like hot bimbo 20-year-old. And I don't blame them. My goodness, if I'm the hiring manager, if I'm building my brand, what am I going to build it on? Like a broken... I'm not middle-aged yet, thank goodness, but... You know, a broken, not exactly spring chicken type of guy? Or am I gonna get like some wide-eyed, bubbly, hot girl with a bubble ass, you know? That's one of the easiest dilemmas. I wouldn't even call it a dilemma. That's the easiest choice you'll ever have to make, right? But yeah, so because they've been taking so much time out, I'm like, okay, is there something I'm missing? So I went on the Reddit, and yeah, a lot of toxic sons of bitches on there. Not the worst I've ever seen, but it's still like, well, you know, so there's definitely lots of nice people, don't get me wrong, more nice than not, but there's definitely a couple of like fat guys who are mad at life because they've never gotten the love of a woman before. And listen, that sounds exactly like me on paper, but at least I'm not a snarky dickhead on Reddit. I'm a snarky dickhead on WordPress.com. But the interesting part was none of that stuff. It was at one point somebody brought up how much money these guys make. The Patreon, they're at $500,000. I don't know if it's per year. I assume it's per year. No way it's per month. So $500,000 per year, split between however many people, because they do have a lot of people that work on those things. But still, even after taxes and stuff, you can probably pay most of your people like $30,000-$40,000, which, you know, it's not great money, but you can get by. It's definitely more than I'm making. I don't know where the poverty line is exactly, but those guys, are, let's say they're still in the poverty line, they're like the bee's knees of the impoverished like me, right? I'm looking at those guys being like, wow, only if someday I could be closer to that line. Like those guys, real winners in life. Well, at least relatively speaking. They also can't afford the nice-looking strippers. They can afford the ones with the bullet holes. And that big scar on her belly from when she gave birth to her baby girl at 14 years old. But then someone chimed in and was like, oh yeah, so the $500K on that one. But even the free episodes that they do, they're still making at least $5,000 per ad read. And they have like 3 commercials per episode now. So these cats are pulling in anywhere between 15 to double that, $30,000 per episode. And at first, I'm like, this guy is definitely uncultured swine. He doesn't know. He doesn't know the truth. Podcasters don't make that type of money on ads. Only Joe Rogan makes that type of money on ads. Everybody else gets a couple hundred bucks here, a couple hundred bucks there. But then it turns out I'm the uncultured swine, because this dude provided like links, right? He's the type of people refer to when they're out there belittling those who do not back up what they say with a link and the facts. This guy provided the facts. I didn't click on it. I did my own research, and it turns out he's right. A podcast like that, that pulls in at least 75,000 listeners per episode, but I think it's beyond that. I think it's over 100,000 per episode, would pull in anywhere between $5,000 and $10,000 an episode, because for like a 10-second read, you get, I think it's $15 per 1,000 listeners. So these guys, and it's, I think it goes up to all the way to like $25 for the max, like 60 seconds or whatever. And these guys definitely do 60 seconds or more, right? So let's say they're getting the 10 grand per episode, per read, and they have three of these. So these guys are making 30,000 per episode. I had the right idea, right? Selling out should absolutely be the goal of every single podcaster. If you enjoy podcasting, if you get a real sense of fulfillment and joy out of doing podcasting, that's great. That should come with the territory. But even if you didn't, even if you hated, well, I don't know why the hell you'd be podcasting if you hated it, but for whatever reason, you didn't like what you did, you interviewed people, and you think 9 out of 10 people you talk to are complete douchebags, well, you should be listening to the Kenny Ho Show, because I think we'd get along real good. But even if it's not 30 grand per episode, let's say you get 10 grand per episode, you should absolutely try to sell out. The goal absolutely needs to be, I need to get to this many listeners so I can make 10 grand per episode. Because even if you do one episode per week, you get 52 weeks out of the year, 52 grand. That's so lofty to me. Like I could see myself hitting 30 grand per year, not the per episode. let's not talk crazy here. I say a lot of wild things, but that'd be the wildest thing I ever did say. But, like, you know, 30, 40 grand a year, I could do it. I'd hate my life. I'd have to have, like, three jobs and just, like, never have days off. Because, yes, I'm that low on the food chain that I'd have to cobble together some sort of smorgasbord of horseshit jobs just to maybe cross the poverty line. But 52 grand a year just to talk? And I think the most successful podcasts in the world are the ones where you talk to people. Surprise, surprise, being a homely, introverted hermit like myself is not the way to go. I'm baffled. I can't believe that's the case. But can you believe that? Just to talk, and a lot of times just talk with your friends and bullshit and make 50 grand a year, I guess, granted, if you've got people on, you're splitting it multiple ways. Unless you're, like, doing what Joe Rogan does and just, like, having guests on. I'm pretty sure it's not a 50-50 divide. I don't even think his guests get paid. Maybe they get, like, a nice gift basket or something, you know? For the type of money, never mind how much money he makes. Even, like, for 50 grand, you better believe I take 2 grand out of the 52 and just, like, get like some children in China to make a bunch of gift baskets for me. I'm in business. I got enough gift baskets at least for that year's guest, if not the next one. And when I found this shit out, now I found out like in the middle of the night, and I woke up just to double check, and that's when I did the research. Once I found out it's legit, you can make bank if you're a legitimate podcaster, unlike yours truly here. If you got the numbers, you can make the do-re-mi. So I'm like, well, I'm not in the position to sell out and make some cash, but I'd like to help out my buddy Jeff, who was on here a few weeks ago. So the first thing I did after the research, I wrote him. I'm like, bro, did you know you could sell out right now? Okay, I had to pause there for a second because I guess the greatest sign that the pandemic at least in people's eyes, is over, even though it's not. The numbers are going, whoa, we're all in trouble, is when good old-fashioned crime is back on the menu. People breaking into other people's homes and stealing their shit is back. And so the popo have to blare their sirens to make it seem like they're going to eventually catch this guy. But they're not going to. They probably could, but they're like, we're unionized and we don't really care. I don't want to make it seem like there's no caring cops out there. There definitely are. I've definitely met a few, but I've also met a lot of the dickheads. A lot of the power-tripping dickheads who treat, like, women and children, innocent women and children. I'm not talking about, you know, the crack whore mom and her demon offspring type of guys. But, you know, nice kids. Let's say like a young Kenny, and even though my mother is psycho, in general, I would consider her a decent person. And these cops bang on our apartment door like we'd be selling drugs or making methamphetamines in my room. Believe me, if I was making methamphetamines in my room, I would not be living here. I'd be living out in like Brampton or Woodbridge in a big ass house because I'm so rich from making and selling methamphetamines. What the hell are we even talking about here, Popo? Get it together, all right? If everyone were like, there was this, he's not off duty, but I think it's, you know, his part time gig directing traffic at the like a construction site. This guy was the nicest freaking dude. I'm like, you've restored not only my faith in police, but in people in general, sir. And he's like, that's great. Move along, railroad. We got shit to do here. All right. You're still white, I guess. But yeah, you better believe I wrote Jeff Vita first thing in the morning. I'm like, bro, did you know you could sell out? Because for the longest time, I thought, because on Tell 'Em Steve Dave early on, they were talking about, we're making $40 per person on this ad. I'm like, well, you know, if I could make, so that means like probably 100 and, I assume because they're part of the network, the SMOD network once upon a time, you know, somebody's taking a cut there too. So let's say that it's like $200 per ad. It's not life-changing money, but if, honestly, if I made $200 per episode on the Kenny Ho show, I would definitely just work part-time. I would not try to cobble together that cavalcade of crepe jobs I was talking about. It would just be the one crepe job, and then I'd have like 4 or 5 days just to, probably 4 days. I think I'd have to work at least 3 days. 200, it doesn't really go that far these days. So it'd be 3 days hating myself. No, I don't think the math's right. So it'd be 4 days of hating myself and 3 days of really hating myself. So I always thought it was like $200, which I'm not going to, you know, look down at. I thrive to be able to make $200 off this podcast in general. Never mind per episode, but certainly $200 per episode. While not life-changing, certainly life-enhancing. If you can deduct days away from a job you hate and do a podcast that, you know, ideally you love, you aren't just a mercenary, you're doing it just for the money, that's definitely life-enhancing in my books. But when we're talking $5,000, $10,000 an episode, that's definitely life-changing type of money. And so I figured Jeff Vita has one of the most listened to podcasts on the planet. So I'm like, dude, did you know selling out was an option? And even though, you know, he doesn't strike me as a guy who wants to sell out, he's more of an honorable person. He's certainly way the hell more honorable than I am. But I mean, $5,000-$10,000 per episode just to hawk some shit, even if you don't believe it, that, you know, it would be foolish of anybody to turn that down, no matter how honorable you are. And not surprising at all. He was aware of it. He's not in the dark like me. I can't believe I've never even researched this, right? For someone who's been talking about selling out for as long as I have, I've never looked into what exactly that looks like and what that means. All I know is I'm a goddamn podcaster and I should make a living at it. It'll probably never happen because it is a lot of, I would need a lot of listeners, like a type of listenership that it hasn't happened, what, like 8 years in or whatever that I'm in now, year 8, 9, 10, I don't freaking know anymore, but I'm this many years in, there's almost no way I'm going to touch 100,000 listeners per episode. But not trying to divulge the conversation I had with him, but he's well aware of advertisers and what that's all about and what all that entails. And he's had people that I would be interested in having on this show, like ad-wise, not guest-wise. He ended up saying no to them. That's a man with integrity right there. Because I'm telling you, under very few circumstances, would I turn down any advertiser? Like the one that I suppose is, like it would have to be something along the lines of the Michael Jackson Lover Pedophile Association of America or whatever. That'd be, you know, if they're trying to, I don't know what the hell their message would be, but like, they're trying to either squeaky clean their own image or the memory of Michael Jackson's. Either way, I'm probably going to say no to that. I would definitely say no to that. Unless I was allowed to make fun of them. If I was allowed to do it tongue in cheek and they wanted to pay me $5,000 to do it, you bet your ass I'm going to do that ad. And I hope he's okay with me divulging this, but he said like a bunch of porno companies reached out to him. I'm telling you, if porno companies reached out to me, I don't care. You want to give me $5,000 to sell whatever, hawk whatever romantic aid or whatever you want to push on people, let's do it. Shy of it being roofies, you know, shy of it being jello pudding pop, you know, I'm gonna hawk that shit. And I would, they're like, please tell an anecdote. I'm like, listen, what the hell are you talking about? Tell an anecdote. Unless you're cool about me making shit up, there's gonna be no anecdote other than, oh yeah, they gave me this romantic aid and it just sat on my desk collecting dust. I have no idea what it does, and if history is a good barometer, I never will. There's never going to be a pretty young thing who wants to not only engage in sexual intercourse with old Kenny, but to the point where romantic aids are involved, meaning having a wild time and not one-off mistake after she broke up with her boyfriend or something and wanted to get back at him. The hell in you, your anecdotes, eh? You son of a bitch porno company. This is why the Kung Fu podcast told you to eat his ass, all right? Now, don't take that literally because you sickos, you know, I know you do that type of stuff in your world, but in a respectable Asian family, there's none of that shit going on. Even though I like dating white girls, so those hoes like that type of shit. And I would do it to them just so I can be like, I defiled me, a white girl. Love me, forefathers. Love me, long time. And that's it. That's episode 319 of the coolest podcast ever, The Kenny Ho Show. Toodles.